Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, check it out. Santana again, stepping out. One of the brand new big boy toys. I mean big boy things. I mean big boy noise, cuz I know.
And good day. Jacqueline Richards here with Mastermind Connection. So glad you're here to hear so much more on what it means to create your own personal mastermind. I'm delighted to have with us today Mr. Mike Kelly, who's branch manager for RE/MAX Affiliates in Ottawa, Canada. And he has so much to tell us about his experience with his mastermind groups. Let me just touch base on what mastermind means. Napoleon Hill was the one who we believe created that whole concept and put a name to it, mastermind. And we know that a mastermind is really the creation when two or more people come together of an invisible image that allows us to have even more ideas, more concepts, more goals, more strategies to work with. Important place for all of us to be. I think all of us, no matter what our network is, we have little mini masterminds that we don't consider a mastermind, but really we should. We should appreciate that whole process that we have, and I don't believe that we've written it on paper, but absolutely feel it with our groups, our conversations, what we write, what we feel. Mastermind groups help us move forward. And here at Mastermind Connections, it's about these 10 beautiful concepts that you can use within your own personal mastermind to create, fulfill goals, fulfill ideas, to have yourself connect with others and help them through their own personal process, even if they haven't called it a mastermind. So, without further ado, Mr. Mike Kelly will speak to us a little bit about what it was for him to have his mastermind. And do we have Mike Kelly on the phone? And Mike?
Can you hear me okay, Jacqueline?
Oh, there we are. Hi. Sorry about that, Mike. So glad to have you here. This is the second piece of our mastermind out of 10. This is number two, process number two. We believe very much that to have a time and place to meet and connect with any one of our with our whole mastermind group, I should say, that's very important so that we can put it in our agendas, so that we know that it's scheduled, that we know we can connect and update everyone on that specific date and time. Incredibly important. In our first show, we talked about the importance of confidentiality. And Linda Pond was kind enough to let us know about her experiences with regard to confidentiality. In this segment, we'll talk about what it is to make sure you are committed enough to put it in your book, committed enough to log it on your calendar, that you will be meeting with your mastermind group at this time, this place. But before we go into that, Mike, can you give us a little synopsis about who you are and what you've done?
Absolutely, Jacqueline. It would be my pleasure. Career real estate person. Moved after my second year in the business to become a broker. I saw that was a good direction to go, and I wanted to continue my education. After that, over the course of the years, streamed into various things as times changed, as the industry changed, and so on. I had an experience of being my own broker and company owner. I've also been involved in sales teams, which are now the rage, so to speak, and involved over the course of the years as well with partnerships, working with one or two other people as far as my real estate career is concerned. Currently, I'm managing a very vibrant, it's the fastest growing real estate office in Ottawa. It's RE/MAX Affiliates. We're in a suburb, shall we say, just southwest of the city of Ottawa that's really on the move. And I'd have to say all of my experiences over the years, but certainly some of the masterminding along the way has helped one be involved in this position, get the position, and what I'd like to think is doing a pretty good job at managing now 43 salespeople, 5 support staff, and when you're dealing with REMAX people, we like to consider ourselves the cream of the crop or the top in the industry. There are some significant extroverted personalities. I've got the pleasure of working with people that are earning $1 million, $500,000, $250,000 a year in sales. And as you can appreciate, we've got egos, we've got personalities, we've got drivers and all sorts of people like that that I get to work with and manage and so on. And every one of them requires a different kind of a way to communicate. Anyway, back specifically on masterminds and so on. Over the years, I'd have to equate some of my success with doing masterminds. And I'd have to say, thinking back, there's probably 3 different ones over the course of my years that I was involved with. First started maybe about 10 or 12 years ago, where a group of people, kind of friends, but with something in common where we wanted to, you know, raise our intelligence quotients, shall we say, our IQs regarding income, cash flow, alternative sources of income, other streams of income, and so on. So as Jacqueline indicated, we agreed to commit to time and location and did that. And while doing that, it was kind of a coaching session for each of us back and forth where we helped one another out, shared ideas, and the forum was no idea was silly, no idea was too big or too small, and we just kind of talked in a fun environment and worked on helping each other out and so on. And from that, I'd have to say the group of us all had success. Can't get into all the details on that, but certainly for me, I'd have to say it inspired me to go on and buy at least 2 properties, which was my involvement or my particular focus with that mastermind group. So that was really quite good. Another mastermind group I was involved with was acting as a salesperson in an office and working with a few other people in an office. And there was 4 of us that got together with the idea of helping to inspire one another's real estate careers, helping to grow their business, build their databases, increase the sales and sales volumes, and things like that.
Perfect. So what you're saying to me, or to all of us who are listening, is that perhaps you've had many opportunities over the course. How long have you been in the business, Mike?
The real estate business, I'm going to just say more than 25, so I don't age myself.
I believe that's more than 25 years, not
yes.
25 months. Okay. And so it sounds like you've put together a number of, I'll say, the support system for your mastermind groups. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and in terms of that, there's guidelines and rules. I'll let you sort of outline those, Jacqueline, in terms of what the formats are and so on. I know you've got that in your head or formatted as part of your blog talks and the systems involved and so on. As it relates to doing that, following the structure is important. A key one in any kind of arrangements with other people is showing up, whether that's for a sales interview, a job interview, work, or whatever, and that's a key part. That also shows respect to your fellow masterminders. Beyond that, confidentiality, which was your first one, was ideal and very important and so on. The time, the place, and the cutoff times also are very important. When one person is speaking, other people don't speak. But yes, and be consistent with that. When you set your times and your places, have it work for everybody. Exactly.
Yeah. And so when you decided on the time and place, was it one place specific that you all met? Or did it change? Did you alternate locations or dates or times with that?
Initially, we were going with Tuesday evenings, every second Tuesday evening, and it was at a residential house. We ended up changing that a little bit over time, and what we found out is we went back to the house You know, we tried it at a pub one time and things like that. But when we were at a house that was quieter, more comfortable, more relaxed, weren't being interfered with by waiters or waitresses and the bill and all that kind of stuff, so that seemed to work out the best. And that would be my recommendation. Another thing that would work would be an office boardroom, which is the one that I did with my other real estate associates. We booked that. We had it before regular business hours. We initially made sure everybody could work with a specific time, had a start time and an end time, and that worked really quite well.
Okay. And how many were in your mastermind?
Over the course of time, I've had it as high as 6, but for some reason, it seems that 4 or 5 seem to be working the best in my experience. I've heard of more, I've heard of less, but I'm thinking probably 4 or 5 would be optimal.
And isn't that interesting? Because when we take a look at the mastermind concept, 12, I believe, because I've worked with more than 8, is just, it's a little too much. It's that people need to get their ideas out and for all of us to comment. And so all of a sudden, it becomes not a 2-hour session, but a 4-hour session. Would that be your experience?
Yes, yes. It gets just to be too much, I think, and personalities take over and so on. But, if I had to do it again, I wouldn't be shy about trying 12 if I had the right 12. But so far, it's been the smaller number that's been most successful for me.
Okay. Well, I know that's good news to hear that you've had success with your mastermind groups. But do you think, in addition to choosing the people who will be part of the support network, and you've had a number of support networks that have come together, what is the best length of time that you have found? Is it 1 hour or 2? Could it be 3 hours? Or do you give yourself and everyone else the opportunity to do as much as you need to do?
Good question. I'm thinking probably an hour to an hour and a half is probably plenty. Sometimes if the creative juices are flowing, you just don't want to leave and stay and run with it a little bit beyond that. But my experience has been that that's usually about enough. Certainly if you're doing it in the evening, time goes on. If you're doing it early before work hours, you've got some restrictions there. But I would try and set it at an hour and a half at the longest. If you've got a little flex time, if things are going great, or two people want to stay after and share, that's probably a good idea as well. But that's what I'd work it around if I had to doing it again.
Okay. Does it matter what city you're in?
I'd have to say no on that one. I really don't think it matters at all what city you're in. From what I can tell, masterminds are all over the world. Sometimes they're done by phone, and people are in different spots. So really, it doesn't matter where you are at all.
I think you
want a comfortable spot where you can sit down, certainly room to have some papers and take notes and minutes from previous meetings and things like that. And when you get that idea, you want to be able to write it down fast.
Oh, I like that aha. And when you look back at your, let's say, the very first mastermind that you'd ever experienced, how did that come to you?
Good question. Go
I'm
back
full
a while.
Of them, Mike.
I'd like to say I was the guy that initiated it, but really I wasn't. It was with some friends, and socially we talked about different things, and it became clear that we were achievers, or clear that we wanted to experiment with a few other things, work-wise, income-wise. So I was just asked to be involved. I thought about it initially, whether I wanted to sacrifice the time, and it was yes, let's give it a whirl. And I was asked to be involved in one. The most recent one now that I've been involved with, it's been in the capacity as the branch manager of my office. One of the things I've seen over the years is those that step out and buy property for themselves have a lot more knowledge about the market, about investment properties specifically, than perhaps others that don't. I always tell real estate people, you know, one way to believe and know your product is to own some of it. And most recently, that's the mastermind that I'm involved with right now, is with about four other people from my branch. It's not specific to the company and the business or anything like that. It's separate from that, where we meet. We're meeting for breakfast. We're meeting once a month currently. I think we may up that to twice a month in September. But and the idea is, when we come together to talk about opportunities, to talk about what we want to do in terms of setting goals as far as acquiring real estate, our long-term plans, sharing ideas about that. One of the fellows is off to a recent seminar. Another person talked about a book, and the rest of us have gone out and bought that specific book. I think that book is 99 Ideas for Investing in Real Estate in Canada. And those are the kinds of things that we share at our meetings.
Wow, that's a lot of information. And you're sure an hour and a half is long enough for all of that to bubble to the surface?
Well, again, it'd been I've had the experience of going in the evening, and I think that's a great time to do it as well. This is the time that this group has chosen to meet. And usually when the hour and a half is done, the pagers have started, the cell phones have started, and it's back to our regular work, so to speak. Certainly an evening session where you had the time, I think, is also great. You know, if you run through the formal part of your meeting and then, let's say, it ends, I think after that you can still have some great banter and great ideas flowing at that point. Sometimes, too, before the session starts, you know, when one or two people get in there, the excitement's there, and you start firing things back and forth at each other, there's another great time to it's amazing what good things can come from those that time as well.
And maybe those are the sorts of things you may not want to put into your agenda or your minutes of the meeting. But what great feedback. When you connect in the evenings, do you find that you've got everyone's attention? They're not thinking about, you know, grocery shopping or if this real estate deal I need to be working with. I've got clients that I need to be calling. What is the focus there? Is there still a focus?
Well, good point, and the attendance, it seems, is slightly less sometimes for the evening ones, and that's just because stuff can get in the way, perhaps because I'm working with real estate salespeople a lot of times on the masterminds. They may be busy with offers or listing appointments and things like that. Certainly, if I had my choice, I would go with evening simply because those extra hours, the building that can come from it, the not having to be somewhere at a specific time is good. The downside, of course, is sometimes if you've had a long day, maybe start at 7 in the morning, by the time 7:30 to 9 o'clock rolls around at night, maybe you're not quite as fresh or as mentally astute as you might have been at 7 in the morning. However, you just do what you can, and I think if you're opening your mind to ideas, whether you're opening it in the morning or opening it in the evening, you'll be a receptacle for it. The ideas will come to you.
So, absolutely, ideas, well, you know, it is that the invisible mind that flows when you pull together your mastermind group. You say that your current mastermind group is predominantly realtors.
Yes.
From your office or from other locations?
No, actually, it's currently just from my office. And I'm thinking we're going to probably run it for another couple of months. I also believe, too, that sometimes a mastermind group can have a beginning and an end. They don't have to go on and on. Some diversity probably would be good. And I'm thinking one of the things that will probably come from this mastermind is that the individuals that are involved in this one may pioneer and start out on their own. One of the things that did come up from the group was building your team, your sphere, in terms of helping with acquiring real estate. That's the focus of this one. So when these individuals go back out after this one, ends, they will probably do things like try and meet with other investors, probably find a mortgage person that they want to connect with, perhaps a contractor that might want to do the work on the houses that they find in their investment that are buy, fix, up, and resell, or buy, fix, up, and rent. So I think that's how that one will go. But currently this is just to sort of get this group of people interested, keen, and developing their goals and game plans to grow that way.
Perfect.
But there's a lot to be said for diversity in the group. I would recommend that for sure.
Okay. And it's very interesting. It would be so easy for us to pick, you know, for me, I'm an author. It would be easy for me to put together a group of authors and editors. However, as you've just mentioned, diversity can make a much stronger, much more powerful mastermind because it's not all potentially the same ideas that are flowing to the surface. In your very first mastermind group, was it were they all of the same from the same industry? Were they all the same professional status? Were they What was your first mastermind about?
Well, it was a group of people involved in different things, so the diversity was clearly there. One was a chartered accountant, background in that. The other person was involved in mortgage financing. Another person was involved in the hotel business, and another person was per se unemployed or not having a conventional job but would be classified as an entrepreneur and not wanting to go back into the corporate environment at all. And then there was myself at that time as a real estate salesperson. So it was a really good mix of people, no question about it. And what, you know, sometimes I'll use the accountant as an example. You sort of look at the numbers and have a programmed way of looking at things, whereas if you bring someone else in, like the hotel person as an example, they've got a whole other perspective on things, perhaps a customer look at things, a very much a service look at things. So amazingly great ideas come from outside of industry, let's say, or the opposite of an idea that you may have thought of and things like that. So it just it takes on a life of its own, shall we say, and really to mix up your group is a recommendation that I have for sure.
Great. So did you keep that time frame at evening time frame for 2 hours or 3 hours with such diversity? I mean, there must have been a fair amount of conversation there.
Yes, that particular group was evenings. It was about 2 hours per session, and that one ran for quite a while, actually. I think it was about 8 months to a year where that group went. Sometimes the sessions didn't end right after an hour and a half or 2 hours, but did carry on. I think the formal formal part of the meeting would have ended. We may have closed the books, per se, but the ideas didn't stop, and that was good. You know, having that privilege of having a little extra time would be something I'd recommend as well.
Okay. Now, I know that we have agendas that we'd like to stick to, and we'll speak a little bit about that in our third session, our third tip for mastermind organizations and connections. However, just a quick question. Did you utilize an agenda to move forward through? Okay.
Yes, we did. And, you know, we would go around the room and ask individuals how they had done since the last time we met, how they were, the successes that they had, the challenges that they had, and things like that. So we would follow the agenda. We made sure that it was confidential, which was one of the arrangements or the pact, shall we say, from the group. And I think that's a very important one. I know you've already spent the whole show on that, and I think that's great. We had an individual that would take minutes, but in addition to that, we ourselves would take our own notes. We would write down what we were going to accomplish between now and the next session and things like that. So really having that structure is really important. But within that structure, you know, you'd make sure you didn't interrupt anybody when they were speaking. But because of the structure, it also allowed, shall we say, for the spontaneity, if I might put that in there, because within the going around of the table and the conversation, it was very, very supportive. Like I say, no idea was too big or too small, so that just had everybody free to contribute.
In that your groups have been quite diversified from the first group that you had been associated with, which was how long ago?
About 10 years, I think, now. Yeah, 10 or 12 years ago now.
Okay. Amazing the impact of Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, because clearly that would have been part of your discussion, not in your first mastermind, but continuing on certainly with your real estate agents, executives who are attending this current mastermind group. It doesn't always have to be about the money, does it?
No, it doesn't. Personal development, personal health, fitness. Sometimes people would be in these masterminds, and one of their goals would be to lose weight, go to the gym, stay structured on going to the gym, these kinds of things. And there's always talk, you have show after show on balance, but one of the things I think it did do was help some of the people involved in the group bring a little bit more balance to their lives. And the other thing, too, that we often, you know, there's the expression forest for the trees. We get so bent, so busy, so focused on work. Sometimes we just don't step out of that and look in terms of where we're going, what we're doing. And that little bit of planning, that little bit of third party or third parties objectivity in terms of where you're going, what you're doing, and hearing your plans and your goals sometimes is invaluable.
Wow. So well said. And so with the remaining minute of our show, I have to thank you so much for speaking with us on the second segment of a Mastermind Connection. And part two, having a place, having a time, having a location that is, whether it's on the phone, as Michael said, or in front of each other around a table, very important for those ideas to manifest themselves. Michael, if anyone had any questions about you and your mastermind groups, where would they locate you?
Well, certainly a phone call would be easy. My office number is area code 613-216-1755. And absolutely, I'd be pleased to speak with anybody about masterminding and so on. I'll give a quick email here, too. Certainly, that's another way. It's M. Kelly, that's M-K-E-L-L-Y, at Remax Affiliates, all one word, remaxaffiliates.ca. So please challenge me with a mastermind question. I'd love to talk to you.
Oh, fantastic. So we have Michael's address. His email address and his phone number. So if we had any additional questions regarding what it was, his experience with regard to a mastermind, or, you know, if you had any questions about real estate, he's been in the business a long time, and I know I've reaped benefits from his conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on Mastermind Connections. I'm Jacqueline Richards. Need to get in contact with me? Jacqueline at JacquelineRichards.com. Take care.